Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. 6.5 minutes after the hour. It's the Greater Oregon Hour. That means we get out to our affiliate stations all over the state, up and down the Willamette Valley, Salem, Eugene, Corvallis, Roseburg, Medford, Klamath Falls, up and down the coast from Coos Bay to Astoria, Tillamook, Newport, and Lincoln City in between. Eastern Oregon, we've got Bend and Pendleton and Enterprise and Burns and great towns all over the Northwest. And your phone calls and emails are welcome at 503-417-7575. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You can email to talk@LarsLarson.com. And in the studio with me, before I go back to the phones, is Brad Friedman, who does bradblog.com. You've got your own. A lot of these blogs are not .coms. They just kind of tag on to Blogspot or one of those. But why did you start doing this blog?
You know what? I started doing it actually out of boredom when I started. I had just finished producing a show for about 5 years in Los Angeles, and I was exhausted. I took a break, and then I kind of was itching to do something every week, like I used to do the show. So I started with this thing, and it was actually just posting cartoons, posting this and that. You know, my cat died. I talked about that sort of thing. It wasn't until the summertime, really, when I started noticing some things and some people noticed what I was noticing, like the Washington Post picked up some of my stories. And before I knew it, I find myself in the mess that I'm in today, reporting on stuff that is not being reported, that needs to be reported, and that's what I'm doing.
Politically, how do you describe yourself?
You know what? I try not to.
Well,
you can.
Well,
I think you asked me that last time I was on. Let's.
I know, but I don't want to. I don't want to pigeonhole you.
No,
but I mean, it helps to tell people. I mean, I know people don't like labels, but on the other hand, if you don't tell somebody this is sort of the direction I'm going, then they just have to pick it up on their own.
I would suggest that I'm a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's progressive liberals. There's progressive conservatives, actually. And
I don't hear a lot of conservatives calling themselves progressive.
Well, you don't hear a lot of conservatives calling themselves anything, because the conservatives, the real conservatives, aren't saying much of anything. The fake conservatives are out there making a lot of noise. But
I call myself a conservative because I don't mind saying this is what I am.
Right.
And if people say, well, what does that mean? I could tell them what it means on fiscal. I could tell them what it means on societal.
Right.
I could tell them that I want small government.
And yet,
limited regulation. I'm a little bit of a libertarian.
Well, I was going to say, and yet, you've
got not okay on the heroin and abortion part.
You've got a full-size picture of George Bush standing behind you.
That was my birthday present from my producer.
Well, it's a very nice present.
It was fun.
But if you call yourself a conservative, I'm surprised that you would be supporting George W. Bush.
But here's the difference.
Yeah.
If I have basically two choices, if I'm going to vote for a presidential candidate, look at this. See, my boss
walks
in.
Wow, that's good. Where's mine?
Every 15 minutes, they bring me money.
They bring you cash like
every
that?
15 minutes, they
oh,
just...
Oh, man, this
now,
radio
see,
gig
well,
is...
And you know, the funny thing is, people think that ownership has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Do you know who owns this radio station that you're standing in?
I do not.
One of the richest liberals on the planet.
Who's
not
that?
George Soros.
Who's that?
He's
the richest?
He could buy and sell George Soros for lunch.
Is that right?
Paul Allen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Paul
so
Allen,
you, you know, I'm, George Soros is pocket change for him.
I need to get in touch with Paul Allen.
Well, good luck.
I need to, my producer, Desi, please bring me cash every 15 minutes or so next time we do our show. We're doing a show Saturday from Portland here, actually.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, and that'll be on the web or on?
That's on the web, bradshow.com. Various affiliates pick it up. It's via the IBC radio network.
Okay.
So we're doing a live show at the election reform conference.
No, but see, anyway, here's the thing. If I've got to vote for somebody for president, I could throw away my vote, you know, and I could throw it away on some candidate and say, gosh, this guy represents everything I want, and he doesn't have a prayer of winning. And that, to me, seems wasted.
Okay.
I know there are people who like doing these things symbolically, like voting for Louis Farrakhan.
No. Well, I'll give you a different
Al Sharpton or something.
Yeah.
But if I vote for a guy and say, this guy best meets my needs, in the same way that the truck I drive home every night, I like it. But there are some things about it I don't like, and I'm willing to tolerate those for all the other things that do meet
well,
my
needs. Well, I respect that.
The practical
approach. In this case, voting for a corrupt liar because he's not, he's the closest thing to what you might like, I can't really excuse.
But I don't think he's corrupt.
Well, we can talk about that in a second. But let me hit, because I know folks are going to be happy about that comment. But let me hit this idea of wasting your vote. The idea that you're wasting your vote by voting for whoever you want to in America. Remember, the money that goes in the next federal election is based on how many votes the various parties got this time. So,
up to a percent.
Up to a certain point.
Because if it doesn't get a minimum percentage, it doesn't mean diddly.
Okay, but I'm suggesting, I'm understanding that what you're suggesting is that perhaps you might vote for maybe a libertarian candidate if you felt they were viable.
if I thought they were viable. Right. Well, but here's the problem I have with libertarians.
Yeah.
Libertarians want to be a little bit of both. They want to, they say, I want the government out of my life, but that means I want my friends and neighbors to be able to cook methamphetamine in their garage and sell it to whoever they want. And I say, everybody who talks about drug legalization, this state is like ground zero for methamphetamine. I mean, believe it or not, it is one of the worst states for methamphetamine. And methamphetamine,
or one of the best states, if you're looking for methamphetamine.
But it's one of the best arguments against drug legalization, because for all the people who say, well, you know, couldn't you smoke a little weed and that would be okay?
Right.
I don't even think marijuana is a benign drug because, and I don't use the gateway argument, although I think it is somewhat of a gateway, in the same way that alcohol can be a gateway to bad stuff. I think that people who get high shouldn't be on the roads, and there's no effective way to police that behavior.
Right.
So therefore, until you solve that practical problem, before we get to any other of the philosophical arguments about whether marijuana is good or bad or whatever, you've got the practical problem that there are going to be people who smoke it and drive and kill people.
So you're in favor of banning alcohol as well?
Well, no, not banning it. I think it is heavily regulated, and it should be. People should use, if I want to go home tonight and get drunk on my butt, I can do that, and I can go to sleep and sleep it off, and I've broken no laws.
Right.
Although there are some people who are starting to try and regulate even that.
Well, shouldn't you be able to go home and get stoned off your butt if you want, and then sleep it off?
Because,
but actually, let me just want to finish that point, close that loop that I had, which was to say that when you vote for who you want, those guys, whether it's Libertarian, Green, whatever third party you want, that vote is then considered in the following election. And if we're going to ever do anything about this two-party duopoly in this country, vote your conscience, including if it's for the Libertarian or the Green or whoever
else. Now, so you just got into one of my favorite discussions.
Yeah.
Why would we be better off with a multi-party, more than two-party? And let's face it, right now we're basically two parties and a lot of spare change.
Yeah.
It's two parties. Why would we be better off with more than two? And pick the number, 3, 6, 9, whatever. Why would that be better?
Well, because I think that they would we would get out of this red state, blue state nonsense, this divisiveness, which is meant to only get one party more votes than another party. It's not about America. It's not about anything or anything else. And what happens is these parties have to find consensus. They have to, because they're going to need each other. When you have more than two parties, you're going to need to pull from these other parties to support your platforms. You can't just rely on destroying your opposition. Does that make sense?
They don't have to. We have more votes than they do.
Who does?
For example, the Republicans have more votes. And I don't agree with all Republicans about all. In fact, I disagree routinely on the air with the president about his policies on immigration. When he put on the steel tariffs, I disagreed with that.
Right.
But let me tell you why I think it would be a bad idea. I like that kind of divisiveness. I know that we use these pejorative terms like divisive.
Yeah.
But frankly, if I'm going to sit down and do anything, if I want to go to a movie, I want to go to an action movie or a romantic movie.
Right.
Do I want an action romance? Because it's consensus. It's action and romance. I may say, doesn't really work. You know, and if I say, do I want a Republican and a Democrat put together? Well, no, but it's a bad metaphor. But let me give you the practical example.
All right.
You know how Jerusalem and Israel work politically?
Sure. Right.
They've got six major parties and another dozen little teeny parties,
right?
Nobody has enough to rule, which means everybody has to cut a deal. They have to have a coalition. And the problem with coalitions is, I say, I'm a Republican, I believe in these things, I'm going to sign up with this party.
Right.
Now, at least I know, I may not agree with everything they do, but I know where they are. In this case, you sign up with a party, and then you say, once my guy gets elected, he has to go cut a deal with somebody, the Greens or the
Abortion. Well, I'll disagree with you that, you know, once you elect this, you know what these guys stand for, because these guys, your guys ran on a completely different platform than the way that they're governed.
Nobody ever said
not
that George Bush was a small government Republican. Nobody.
Well, I think he did.
Go back and find it.
You're saying that he was not against big government?
Everybody around him knew that he was not a small... I don't know that there's a single quote where the president said, we're going to shrink government.
Grover Norquist wanted to shrink it until we could drown it in a bathtub.
Grover's gone off his rocker, you know that.
Is that right?
Well, he seems to have.
Well, it seems
to have gone jihad.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever was on his rocker,
to be frank. Okay.
But so you're suggesting that George Bush did not run on the idea that he was a conservative for smaller government.
Well, conservative, small government. I don't think he ever talked about shrinking the government, unfortunately, because that's one of the... If there had been another viable candidate in the Republican Party...
Yeah.
Who had said, I'm going to shrink government, I think I would have gone for that person.
Like John McCain?
Well, McCain's got his own set of problems,
Bill Clinton.
I mean,
Bill
friend Cindy Sheehan calls him a warmonger.
Bill Clinton was more conservative than George W. Bush. You guys, you know, there was...
Well, you're going to use that 300,000 reduction in the federal government, which came mostly from the military after the end of the Cold War.
There was 150,000 plus, and maybe your listeners don't know if they watched cable TV, but there was over 150,000 folks who showed up in D.C. this week protesting the war. Now, the fact of the matter is there ought to have been 500,000 conservatives out there protesting the war, protesting George W. Bush, and protesting his policies because they are nothing.
We're going to break right now. We're going to pay some bills, and when we come back, you're going to tell me that if everybody was protesting, if the whole country protested the war, and we all said, let's pack up the troops and bring them home.
Right.
What would happen next after that? We'll come back on that note 18 minutes after the hour. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. 23 minutes after the hour, taking your phone call. Let's take a couple of calls, Brad, because Brad Freeman runs bradblog.com and also bradshow.com.
Yes, sir.
He's in studio with me now. You know what we've been talking about? I want to put Colleen on from Ben, because she listens on News Talk 1110 KBND. Hey, Colleen, welcome to the program.
It's actually Pauline, but how are you doing? What a great topic.
Well, I mean, which one do you want to go off on? The bicycle riding? Because I'll have to bring Brad up to speed unless he's been listening to what we've been talking.
I have not. They would not let me listen down.
Colleen, which one do you want to go off on?
Cycling.
Okay, because I will tell you this. Tomorrow we have what's called First Amendment Friday, four hours of whatever people want to bring up, whether I brought up or not. The cycling, and here's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are killed on bicycles more often than people are killed in cars, at least in the car-bike interactions. And the bicyclists are 50% at fault. And they routinely do not get ticketed or the laws enforced on bicycle riders.
Right.
And my point of view is I ride a bike, too.
Yeah.
But I also drive a car and a truck. And so when I'm driving, I obey the traffic laws. I want the bike riders to obey the traffic laws. I can go out and drive for 1 hour and watch bike riders violate the law routinely. And I almost every time I'm driving a car, I see a car driver or a truck driver by the side of the road being ticketed for something.
Right.
I can say honestly in my life, I've never seen a bicycle rider getting a ticket for anything. Now, I know they do,
right,
but it's so infrequent. What's the response to that, Colleen?
Well, as an avid cyclist, I ride, I race, and I commute. And I think that some of my fellow cyclists are in denial about what a hazard we do present on the road. And it's our responsibility to be very aware. The cars don't see us, and, you know, we're not always visible. And I would support a license for bicycles and a set of rules that specifically pertain to you as a cyclist. You know, we're supposed to abide by the rules of the road as if we were a car, but we can't always do that, but yet we're not pedestrians. So we need to come up with something, and I think as cyclists, we do need to be aware of how we act and, you know, what we're doing out there.
Okay. Fair enough, Colleen. Thanks a lot. What do you think about this? Why is it? Do you ever seen a bicycle rider ticketed by a cop?
You know, I don't know that I have. Of course, I live in Los Angeles, so they give folks tickets for jaywalking in that town. Actually,
do they ride bikes in LA?
They do. I haven't seen anyone getting tickets. I'm not sure what they'd get tickets for. And unlike many
running
folks,
have you ever seen a bicycle rider run a stop sign?
Probably have in New York City.
And why don't they get tickets?
I don't know. I haven't seen a cop around. Although, on the other hand, I'll stay.
Who's writing all those pedestrians?
I'll stay out of. Unlike many people on the radio, I'll stay out of topics that I'm really not that familiar with. But I will say that I think it's a good idea to encourage as many folks to ride bicycles as we can, while folks are out there fighting and dying for oil for this country, and we could do a lot better.
Are we fighting for oil?
What are we fighting for?
I don't know. What did we go to Bosnia for? Oil.
Well, there was a genocide going on in Bosnia.
Why did we?
An active genocide going on.
Okay. And we stopped that. How much of what was originally claimed has been debunked? I mean, I'm not saying there weren't some acts of genocide going on, but
Saying that there was not genocide?
Don't try and pin me down.
So you're saying some genocide was okay?
No, I'm not saying some was okay either. Was
not
there some genocide going on in Iraq?
Well, I don't know.
We had them down that road where we might justify war based on genocide, but then we can't do it.
Well, I don't believe there was an active genocide going on in Iraq.
The Kurds weren't to
not after 19.
What the Jews were to Hitler.
When in 1991 we had a war.
Weren't the Kurds to Saddam what the Jews were to Hitler? He wanted to wipe them out. Saddam tried very hard to wipe out the
right,
Kurds.
And that's why we went to war in 1991. Took away all of his.
What's that? Your better half.
22 years.
Oh, so then that's okay. Years ago? If Hitler had let a little more time go by after he tried to kill the Jews, it would have been okay.
No, I don't think so.
No?
But, I mean, there's genocide going on all over the world. There are bad guys all over the world. Do you want to go take down the bad guys in Saudi Arabia? In Kuwait?
Yeah.
In Iran? In North Korea?
But there's more than one way to skin a cat.
And yet you said you were conservative, and now you want to be the world's policeman.
You know what? All that it takes for evil to exist is good men to do nothing. And I have no problem with 100 different ways to solve
the problem. Which is why I want you to come to the election reform conference this weekend in Portland. We'll talk about that.
Okay, how did we get
yes.
Libya to give up its WMD program?
Well,
how did that happen?
Actually, Libya was prepared to give up their WMD program sometime. Sometime, well, I understand that you're going to make the claim that it was because George W. Bush was so tough after 9/11 and this war in Iraq scared the hell out of him.
I think that was
my understanding is that's
you
not the case. That they were willing.
Did it?
No, for some time they were trying to get back into the world community. And
it was just a coincidence that they did it after we went to war in Iraq.
Well, actually, from my understanding, unless you can give me information to the contrary, from my information was they were prepared to do that long ago. And the Bush administration waited and held that approval of everything until after the war had happened and they could use it for a publicity stunt. Now, I know that George W. Bush would never use such things as photo ops or publicity stunts.
How did this story escape the news media that Momar was saying, let me give up my weapons right now? You can stand here behind the microphone and say anything you want. We talked yesterday. I don't know if this
is good for your country, though. I think you should run for governor.
No, but if you can do more good somewhere else, then why would you go run for public office, which is, I think there's an awful lot of ego tied up in office. You want to have a title. You want to have everybody bow and scrape in front of you.
Right.
You know, if somebody was running the Red Cross and they were really highly competent, and you said, why don't you run for Senate? You say, because I'm running the Red Cross and I can do more good here than running for U.S. Senate. Yeah, let them do what they want to do. And this is what I like.
You'd be able to win, wouldn't you?
No. In this state, a conservative cannot win.
It says here, happiness is a Republican governor.
That's right. That's because, do you know how long this state has gone without a Republican governor?
Yeah.
And the last one was sort of a rhino.
And who has a better chance of becoming a Republican governor in this state than you?
Not me.
No?
No, the last one was kind of a rhino.
Yeah.
And since then, we haven't had one in a quarter century. So what does that tell you about the state?
Well, I have some guys who can probably help you fix those election machines so that you can get in.
Oh, the Diebold or Diebold.
Diebold.
You guys believe in chemtrails, too?
No, you're talking about conspiracy theories? Because I've been following some conspiracy theories lately since Tom DeLay was indicted, and that's certainly a criminal conspiracy.
That's a fun one. It is a fun one.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about this?
You can.
Okay.
Of course.
I looked up the Texas election laws.
Right.
It says to charge somebody with violation of that, we can't agree Tom DeLay is a Texas resident, right?
I think so. I don't know. Karl Rove is or isn't a Texas resident, yet he voted.
Tom DeLay
Texas,
is a congressman from Texas, so he's a Texas resident.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Texas residents charged under that election law have to be charged in the county of their residence, which is Harris County in DeLay's case. The man who charged him yesterday is the DA of Travis County.
Yeah, that would be for
problem.
You're right. No, it's not a problem because, from my understanding, that would be for campaign. Election fraud or whatever they called it, money laundering. He was not charged on that. He was charged for criminal conspiracy. And that's why it did not have to. Correct. And that's why it didn't have to go back to his county. It could be done.
If a person gets murdered and you're charged with murder, you have to be charged in the county where the murder happened. If you're charged with conspiracy to commit murder, meaning you helped aid and abet the murder, but you didn't actually fire the gun, stab the knife, or whatever, you're still going to have to be charged where it happened.
I don't believe. So you're saying that the prosecutor down there does not know the law and that this is incorrect on that basis.
I think that there are times where, I remember Cap Weinberger was indicted at one point, and then that happened 4 days before an election, and then weeks and weeks and weeks after the election happened. The indictment went away because it really wasn't valid, but it served its purpose by occurring 4 days before the election.
So you're charging this as politically motivated with no evidence whatsoever?
I'm just suggesting I'm just suggesting that if you charge somebody, you have to charge them where the crime, where the person is resident,
Lars,
because that's what the law says.
Do you also believe in chemtrails?
No.
Okay, because you
kind of
sound like
depleted uranium.
You kind of sound like a conspiracy.
No. You know why I differentiate conspiracy?
Which I say, instead of calling you Clintonian for the parsing you're doing, I'll just stick with your conspiracy theory.
It's not parsing, though.
Yeah.
If I say somebody violated Oregon election laws, you don't charge them in Washington State. I mean, if a Washington State prosecutor charged me with violating Oregon election laws, somebody might logically say, hold on, can a Washington prosecutor charge somebody for violating a law in Oregon? And the answer is no, they can't.
So you're okay with the fact that he laundered money for who's alleged to have laundered money in a campaign because they charged him in the wrong Texas county?
No, I'm just saying.
Is this your defense?
No, that's the first level.
Okay.
Okay. Because I believe in following the law.
Mm-hmm.
I have to follow the law when I'm on the air. There are a bunch of laws involving payola, involving all kinds of things.
Right.
So, for example, I drive a Dodge truck.
Right.
The radio station runs Dodge truck commercials for a dealer.
Right.
That the dealer gave me that truck.
Very nice.
Now, if he gives me the truck in the right way through the radio station to use, it's legal.
If he gives
it to me in the wrong way, it's called payola, and I go to prison.
I understand.
And the difference is the difference between you introduce this young lady as your girlfriend, right?
Right.
You ever bought her any presents?
No.
Never buy her a present?
Well, if I have to.
Okay. So if you buy her a present, and then if you've been girlfriend, boyfriend for a long time?
Correct.
So that we might presume that there might be something going on there.
Right.
Okay. But you bought her presents.
Yeah.
But one was an exchange for the other. If you exchange things of value for...
Oh, man.
See, that
man,
is prostitution.
Are you reaching, Lars?
But no, but that's the thing.
Lars.
It's all in how it happens, because if a corporation in Texas wants to give money to a campaign, they can't do it.
Yeah.
But if a corporation in Texas wants to give money to the Republican National Committee, and the Republican National Committee takes individual donations and gives them to Texas campaigns, that's legal, right?
I couldn't even follow that.
No, that's what happened.
I understand,
but
they laundered money through...
Well, laundered... What is it?
The prosecutor, the man who knows much more about the law than either you or I, has said that money was given to the National Republican Party that was then intended specifically to go back... It's illegal. It is legal, as I understand it, to go to the Republican National Party, but not then to be paid... to the local Texas, whatever that was, Texas.
And very glad that you've gone there. Is it legal if the Democrats do it?
Of course not.
But they did do it.
Where did they do it?
In Texas.
Great, prosecute them.
Wonder why he didn't go after them for doing that.
Wonder where your evidence is, Lars.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh, please
because
do.
Because it's been in published reports that the Texas Democrats arranged for corporate contributions.
It's been published
to
reports?
To the DNC.
And that
the DNC said... In fact, you know what? It's happened here in Oregon.
Yeah.
It's happened in Washington. And I'm not saying the fact
prosecute
that it happens a lot, it does not make
prosecute
it right. But what I'm saying is, when you see something happening a lot, like the bike riding thing that we were happening, where a cop sits there and watches four bicycle riders blow a stop sign.
Yeah,
and doesn't do anything, and then somebody in a four-wheel automobile with an engine up front does it, and he writes them a ticket. You say, why do you write the car driver a ticket, and he didn't write tickets?
No, listen, I understand. And
could there be a motive?
I remember when Republicans did used to care about the rule of law, and I'm glad to hear
still
that you're interested in it. You are. You still do?
Yeah.
So you're calling for Karl Rove to be prosecuted?
What's that?
So you're calling for Karl Rove.
What did Karl Rove do wrong?
It would seem that he has outed...
Are we going to talk about Valerie Plame?
Would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, let's go, Lars.
Let's go.
It seems to me that for the first time in White House history...
Is she a covert operative?
My understanding is that she's a knock.
Should we look to the
law? She's a knock.
No,
I know you're
going to
go to these talking points about 5 years.
If she hasn't been out of the country in 5 years, she's not an undercover operative.
It says Victoria... What's her name? Whoever.
Valerie Plame.
No. The one who gave you that talking point. If actually look at the law.
No, I looked at the law.
Victoria Tensing reported that.
No, I didn't get it from her.
Show me the 5 years rule in the law.
Why do you assume?
Because I read the law.
No, I read the law too. But why do you assume that I get it from talking points?
Well, because she is the one who reported it.
She is the one who came out and said that she wasn't out of the country working in 5 years.
Do you assume that if I say something, it must have come from a talking point? That I'm not capable of finding on my own?
Well, if you can go back and show me and cite for me the legal precedent that you're referring to, then I would have all the respect in the world for that.
Let's see, let me read this. The only problem is similar transactions. October 31, 2002, Texas Democrat Party sends the Democrat National Committee $75,000.
Yeah.
And on the same day, the DNC sends the Texas Democrat Party $75,000. It's funny, they sent $75,000.
Good. Go get them.
Same time.
Good. Go get them.
Let's talk about
it. Would you like to see? Would you like to see those the guys in the DNC indicted?
No. And let me tell you why.
It's the rule of law, Lars.
No, but can I tell you something? Here's why.
Okay.
I like the system here. And I wish, I've said
here
this
where?
Before,
here in Oregon.
Okay. And I'll tell you why. Because the system is very simple. It says you declare everything. Everybody can give as much money as they want to state and local races.
Okay, wait a minute. We're not discussing what the law should be.
No,
we're talking about the law is and the rule of law.
If you want to go around the country and prosecute every instance of this, we can do that. The only problem is I don't see any winners because I don't think the voters are winners. And I'll tell you why. Because if we take both major parties and we fine them tons of money and make them both pay for the same practice that's been done, so they pay the Federal Election Commission hundreds of thousands of dollars. What does that change?
When the state of Texas expressly does not want corporate money funneled into candidates for office, and in this case I think it was $190,000 that we're talking about, which led to the Republicans taking over the majority.
So you're suggesting that
the state of Texas should not be allowed to say we don't want corporate money going to...
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that is the law, Lars.
What I'm saying is... What finally comes out of that, if you go back and you say, okay, DeLay broke the law, we're going to put him in jail for conspiracy.
Sure, put him in jail.
And what changes? As far as the voters
we have one less criminal as the majority leader of your party.
And if we take all of
and
the
And your
other,
party no, ends up looking a hell of a lot better because you guys used to give a damn about the rule of law.
If we take everybody else who's done this from both parties, what it sounds like is it's standard practice in almost every state. In fact, Oregon, I know there were reports that money was sent to the Michigan Democrat Party, Republican Party, and then the Republican Party sent money back. And the Democrats did the same thing with other states. Who wins out of all those prosecutions and all the fines and all the jail terms? What ends up happening?
I'd like to think if we get the corporate money the hell out of elections, then the citizens win.
Why is that a good thing?
Why is it a good thing to have to get the corporations, the corporate money out of elections?
Yes.
Because it's one vote, one person. Democracy is about the people. It's not about the corporations. And I don't think that there should be amount of money. Because these guys get into office, and then they feel like they owe these guys something. And you can look and you talk about connecting the dots.
No, but is that necessarily...
Of course it's a bad thing.
Okay, hold on. If the Sierra Club, representing several hundred thousand people, gives money to a candidate, does the candidate, when he gets into office, feel like he owes the Sierra Club something?
Probably
is
does.
Is that a bad thing?
Probably, yes.
Why?
Because I don't think anybody you're asking me the question. Let me answer it.
Okay.
Because I don't think anybody should be buying anybody's vote. And if
not buying vote, but if you say, I believe in this candidate, and I'm going to give him some money. I'm an individual. So I give him some money, that's okay.
But of course,
if I belong to a group of 100 people or 100,000 people who also believe in something, it could be abortion, it could be preserving the environment, it could be a strong national defense, and the 100,000 of us all give a dollar each through our group, that's a bad thing. But if we all gave a dollar each individually, it would be a good thing.
No, because obviously, because you owe these people something. Look at this bankruptcy bill. And I'm choosing this one specifically because there's a lot of Democrats who did some terrible things in voting for this bankruptcy bill because they get tons of money from the banks and the credit card companies.
And why is that?
And they ended up passing this bankruptcy bill that is not good for American citizens. Period.
Stop for a second. We got a break. We'll come back. Got Brad Freedom with it.
Freedom. Freedom. I like it.
You should change your name like that. Then you'd have to become a conservative. You got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Brad Friedman with me. Brad Blog is the blog. Bradshow.com is the location where you find him. And glad to have you here. What have we got?
It's good to be here. Can I get in? I know before the top of the hour, can I get in a plug for this? I have to. That's why I'm here.
What are you
going to do? I'm down in Portland here for the National Summit to Save Our Elections. And it's this weekend at the, First Unitarian Church down at 12th and Main. You can get more information at OregonVRC.org.
democracy, Lars, is at stake. And if you're not familiar with what's going on and what has happened to our election system in this country...
Oh, I'm very concerned about some aspects, but I'll bet that we don't...
Well, then come on out. Well, then come on out to the summit this week.
Tell me this.
Yes, sir.
Should I have to demonstrate that I'm legally eligible to vote before I can vote?
Should you have to demonstrate that you're legally eligible to vote before? Yeah, if you're on the voter rolls, and I know we can talk if you want to talk about photo ID.
What if I'm an illegal alien?
You should not vote if you're an illegal alien.
You know that in Oregon, they routinely give driver's licenses and sign up to vote illegal aliens.
Well, they shouldn't. Stop that.
But we don't have a system for stopping it. We have some bills that have been in the legislature also.
But that's not the problem. The problem plaguing our election system is hundreds and thousands and millions of votes not being counted at all or being counted incorrectly, and voting machine companies that are accountable to no one counting our votes on secret software.
Are you going to talk about the Washington State? Gregoire being elected
sure.
on the third count?
Of course.
Okay, if I hand you...
And let me point out, when that happened, the judge also pointed out that there was no charges of fraud brought, there was no evidence of fraud found, and I believe there was a total of eight illegal votes that were removed from
the vote. The judge found that there were literally hundreds of dead people whose votes were counted.
If there were illegal votes, he said that even if you subtracted the illegal votes, that Gregoire still would have won. That's what he said.
Votes, and there were hundreds
the
of illegal votes.
The judge said that. And the Republicans, and the Republicans decided not to appeal it because they were so thoroughly trounced because there was no charges of fraud brought by the Republican Party
because
at all. And
fraud,
the judge said over and over there was no evidence of fraud in that election.
And I'm going to tell you off the air why you should not believe what had happened.
All right, well, folks in Portland and in the area, please come on down to the summit, OregonVRC.org, and have it out with me and the other dozen or 20 speakers who are going to be talking about what is wrong with the election system in our country.
He calls himself a progressive. He is BradBlog.com, Brad Friedman. Glad to have him on as a guest, and we have him on the national show as well. 3 minutes before the top of the hour, your emails are welcome. Talk at LarsLarson.com. You've got the Lars Larson Show.